Hey, guess what? I've got some news for you in case you hadn't heard. Jesus is risen. And what that means is that he is alive. He is alive today. He's sitting at the right hand of his Father on his throne in heaven, which is his rightful place because he has all authority given to him. He has authority over life and over death. And aren't we glad today? And I can testify to this because I have witnessed his resurrection power in my own life, and I've witnessed it in the lives of many others. And I've heard story after story, and he's going to do it again today. I can promise you, and I can obligate him to this. He's going to speak into your heart today, and he's going to try to change you today. Is your heart open to it? I hope it is. Go ahead, have a seat. Take a deep breath. Get your Bibles out and turn to John chapter 11. We're in the book of John. That's the Gospel of John. So if you go to the New Testament, it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All right, that's where we're going to be in John chapter 11. As some of you might be asking, you know, Phil, you sound all excited and cranked up about this whole thing. Why should we believe you? Why should we trust you? Well, that's actually a really good question. I'm not really asking you to trust me. I mean, I am asking you to trust me, but I'm asking you to not just trust me. I'm asking you to trust in the authoritative, true accounts of eyewitnesses who have written down their experiences with the resurrected Lord and have given those stories to us, and they testify to the reality of the resurrection power in their own lives, and their story is, you can have it too. In fact, John says in 1 John chapter 1, not where you are, you're in John chapter 17, but in a letter that he wrote later on, he writes this: we proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. You see how they are witness to him? He is the word of life. This one who is life itself was revealed to us, and we have seen him. And now we testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. He was with the Father, and then he was revealed to us. We proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard. Are you getting a theme here? Okay, these apostles are like, listen, we saw him, we touched him, we heard him, we observed it, we witnessed his resurrection power, and we have got to proclaim that to you. Why? So that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things to you, and I'm going to declare these things to you today, my friends, so that you may fully share our joy. Let me tell you this, the whole of the Bible is a proclamation and the testimony of those who have believed in Jesus because they witnessed Jesus' power at work. They saw his power and believed, and therefore they were saved by the power of the resurrection. And as a result of that, they received in their hearts the Holy Spirit of God. And they in turn went out to proclaim in the power of the Holy Spirit given to them, proclaim to everyone who has ears to hear what they have witnessed to be true, and then to testify that that truth is for us today in real time. Through the Bible, you can read about it. We can testify about what we've seen in our life today, and I can testify and witness to you that it's available for you today. Amen. In fact, I want to say it like this. Every true believer that is here this morning has the resurrection on full display in their lives through the powerful work of the Holy Spirit of God as a witness to the world that something awesome has happened in our life, that we have found eternal life. I have witnessed this in my own life. I have a story of resurrection power that has come into my own heart and my own life and has saved me and brought me to life in Jesus Christ. And I want to testify to that with you today. I want to share that with you and witness to that. I'm running low on energy. I need another cup of coffee, I think, or something. I mean, this is like high power today, but I'm going to give you everything that I've got right now because today's message is a message of hope. It's a message of hope because it's all about resurrection power. In fact, John 11, look at verse 25 in John 11. Now we're gonna get into this whole story, but I'm jumping into the middle of it because I want you to hear the words of Jesus, where this is what he said. And this is what I'm declaring to you today. I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus said. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me, this is great news, will never die. The resurrection carries with it the most powerful thing in all the world, the greatest power given to men in the world is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Resurrection is the greatest word for deliverance in the world we live in today. It brings the greatest hope to this world that we live in. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is alive today through what the Bible calls resurrection power. He is the victor over sin and death through his resurrection power. Let me put it this way. He has the power to make what is dead alive. And he's done it over and over again. And he's going to continue to do it. And he'll do it today. John 11 is the greatest miracle that Jesus did on earth. And I want you to understand that he didn't just do it for one person. He did it in the presence of many witnesses who were witness to the resurrection power that we're going to be reading about. Now, you probably know this story, okay? It's going to be like, oh, yeah, I've heard that many, many times. Well, we're going to talk about it again today because it is powerful, all right? I mean, what better to talk about on Resurrection Sunday than a resurrection? And so here's what it is. I'm going to summarize the story. There was a certain man who was ill, and his name was Lazarus. Lazarus had two sisters, Mary and Martha, and the three of them were like super close friends of Jesus. I can't wait to find out why they were. We just know that they were. Jesus loved them dearly, and they loved Jesus dearly. And so Lazarus is from Bethany. Bethany is just a little ways from Jerusalem, and he's sick. So the sisters send word to Jesus. And this is what they sent word with. They said, Lord, the one you love, Lazarus, is sick. Please come. That's the word that they sent to Jesus. Now, Jesus was with his disciples at the time doing ministry, and he was a couple of days' journey away from Bethany. And so this is what Jesus said. When he got the word, I know what you're thinking, and I know what you know that Martha and Mary were thinking. You were thinking that Jesus was going to like drop everything, red alarm, red alert, let's go to Lazarus. But instead, Jesus goes, okay, we're going to hang out here for 2 days. And then take the two-day journey to Bethany. That's for another time, because that's a hard thing to deal with when your anticipation is the one you love is sick. Okay? So they stay 2 days longer, they make their journey, Lazarus dies in the meantime. He dies before they get there, and when they get there, everyone is in distress. Mary and Martha are in distress, all the people that were there are in distress, and because they had hoped that Jesus would come and heal Lazarus. They knew Jesus had healing power. They knew Jesus was the Son of God. So this wasn't gonna be a big deal for him. Jesus, come, the one you love is sick, come heal him. That was their expectation. Jesus arrives, and they're like, I can just hear it in their voices. I can just see it. I can feel it. I can feel the tension in the air as Jesus shows up on the scene with his disciples. Lazarus is dead, and Martha's like, yeah, well, thanks, but he's dead. You're too late. He's already dead. Okay, so you got something to write with? Get something to write with. I want you to write this down, and I want you to make a poster out of it and put it on your wall in your house somewhere. Okay, make a big old poster of it. Got it? Here's what it is. Nothing is over until Jesus says it's over. You may have in your life something, and you're like, it's too late, Jesus. It's too late. I'm dead. It's over. You came too late. We wanted you to do something, but you didn't, and now it's too late. It's not over until Jesus. Nothing is over until Jesus says that it's over. And it's safe to say, my friends, right? Now, especially 4 days later, It's safe to say that Lazarus was in a desperate need of resurrection power. He didn't need healing power anymore. Now he needs resurrection power. That seems like a big old deal to me. I wonder, does anybody here need a resurrection? I just wonder, I'm just asking. Does anybody here, wherever you are watching, do you need the resurrection power of Jesus to come in and wake up that which is dead in your life? Our world needs it. Our nation needs it. And I gotta say this. We're in trouble.
Big time.
Our world is in trouble.
Yes.
And like never before, our nation needs the resurrection power of Jesus to come in and resurrect all that is dead in our nation. So like our president this morning, last night actually, makes a declaration. This is America, one nation under God. And he makes a declaration that tomorrow, Easter Sunday, is going to be officially the nation's day for trans awareness.
Evil.
On Easter Sunday. I know.
Yep.
This is the depths that which we have fallen. In fact, one trans person actually rebuked him for that statement and said these words. There's only one thing that needs to be proclaimed on Easter Sunday, and the words are, he is risen. That's the only thing that needs to be proclaimed on Easter Sunday. We don't make some kind of declaration that it means anything else. Pick some other day to make it that. Don't make it Easter Sunday. It just is proof that we have fallen so low. The Bible says that in the last days, and we're in the last days, my friends, believe me, don't doubt we're in the last days. In the last days, it will be like it was in the days of Noah, where everyone did it was right in their own eyes, and they're going to be confused, and they're going to be deceived, and they're going to be deceiving people. I got on my face this morning, and I prayed to the Lord. I said, Lord, bring resurrection power to bear in the Biden household. Bring them to salvation. And anyone else who is pushing a wicked, evil agenda of any kind, bring them to salvation. Listen, my friends, they need Jesus. They're walking around in the dark. They're totally confused, and they're totally deranged in their minds. They don't know what the truth is, and they're going around shooting firebrands everywhere. And all the cry for me is, they need resurrection power to bear in their life. They need Jesus. How about you? You might be here and you're like in need of a personal revival, and you need a fresh stirring of faith in your life. Something has entered into your life and it's like killing you. And maybe you've allowed your soul and your heart to grow cold to God and to the things of God. I want to testify today. I want to bear witness today that Jesus' resurrection power can revive your soul today. He can walk in and he can heal that which is broken and that which is sick, even that which is dead.
Only he can.
You might be in a dead marriage. And the warmth is gone. The intimacy is a thing of the past. Your closeness that you once enjoyed has completely disappeared. I want to testify to you that Jesus Christ can bring his resurrection power to bear in your marriage and bring it from death to life again. I've experienced it. I have seen it. I have helped people realize it, and I have watched it happen, and he will do it again.
Amen.
Don't get to this point where, oh no, it's too late for me. Nothing is over until
Jesus
says it's over. That's exactly right. Someone here might have some strongholds and some addictions and they're holding you captive, and they're actually causing you to feel dead inside. Well, I want to testify to you that you need the strong resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ to help you break those strongholds. We sang about it this morning. He is the God who, by his power at work in you, can help break those things that are holding you back. You don't have to be bound up by those things. He can set you free and will set you free. And I could testify of it because it's happened in my own life. And I've watched it happen in many of your lives. And he's going to continue to keep on doing this. Don't doubt it. It's possible that someone's here and your soul is dead to God. And what I mean by that is that you're dead in your trespasses and sins. And that sounds really harsh, but the reality is, before you come to faith, before we come to faith in Jesus, the Bible says that we're sinners, and because of that, we're dead to the things of God. We're dead in our trespasses and in our sins, and we need to be saved from those sins and forgiven of those sins and given new life in Jesus Christ. I want to testify today that the resurrection power of Jesus Christ would save you today if you would just believe. Yes, Lord. Yes. He will. He wants to. In fact, I believe you're here because he wants to. And he wants to speak into your heart. He wants to save you. And if you would put your faith in Christ, he will. I can testify to these truths about Jesus. I can actually obligate Jesus to you because I've experienced and witnessed his resurrection power. So no matter how dead you think your life is, nothing is over until Jesus says it's over. And Jesus is about to walk into your darkness today, right now, just like he did for Lazarus in this story. In fact, let's pick up the story in verse 17. So remember, Jesus is away. It takes him 4 days to get there. On his arrival, and Lazarus is dead. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Okay, what's the problem with that?
He stinketh.
Why are we being told that he's in there for 4 days? It's significant, okay? I want you to hear this, okay? And I'm going to read from some scientific journals on this, okay? Because I'm not that smart, but it doesn't take long for our bodies, once our heart stops beating, it doesn't take long for our bodies to start the decaying process. And so by the third day, just 72 hours into your death, the decomposing tissues of your body begin to stink, and emit green liquids. In fact, your body, I can't believe I'm telling you this, your body begins to emit hydrogen sulfide and methane gases, and so you are an absolute oozing, stinking mess 4 days into your death. Say hello to Lazarus in his tomb. This is who we're dealing with. And isn't it something that the Bible tells us that? So Jesus arrives, and he finds Lazarus has already been in the tomb for 4 days. He's a mess. His life is over. His death is a mess. Yes. Now, we think the story's all about Lazarus, but I want you to see that there were many people who were going to be a witness to this resurrection power. So it's about a lot more people. So don't you know that the resurrection power that is at work in your life, that you've experienced in your life, isn't just about you. It's about you, and praise God for that. Aren't we glad that God has come and brought his power to bear in our lives and has given us victory and given us life? Aren't we glad? Yes, we are, okay, but it's not all about you. It's for everyone else around you to witness that resurrection power. And so verse 18 of John 11 says this: Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, just a little ways away, and many Jews had come to Mary and Martha to comfort them in the loss of their brother. Do you think that it's just a coincidence that God's just coincidentally got some people from Jerusalem to come down to Bethany and to hang out with Mary and Martha in order to experience this resurrection power? No, it's not. God knows exactly what he's doing. You're going to see it in just a little bit. So verse 20, when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, now get this, listen to this, okay? And think, put yourself in her shoes, because she had great hopes that Jesus would come and heal her brother. Lord, she said, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Can you feel the tension? But then she softens. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. I want to stop right there, okay? So does Jesus mean now or someday? What does he mean? When he says, your brother will rise again, what does he mean? Now or someday? Why do we know that? Why do we know it's now? Because we've read the story. And we've heard this over and over again. Of course, it's now. That's what he means. It's now. He's getting ready to raise Lazarus from the dead. Well, Martha didn't know that. No one knew that. And so Martha does what many of us do in situations like this. She goes for the someday meaning. And Martha answers, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection on the last day. I can just hear this, okay? If you had been here, he wouldn't have died. Martha, your brother will rise again. Yeah, I know. That's the Christian answer. That's the Jesus answer. I know he's going to rise again someday, but I want him right now. And Jesus is like, Martha. Man, is she like us? I mean, aren't we like her? Because many times, like Martha, we opt for the Jesus miracle someday instead of seeing Jesus in our today and believing that Jesus will bring us a miracle today.
Yeah, right now.
And he wants to.
Yes, right now.
Right now. Today, he wants to.
Come on.
Right now, this morning, Jesus can and he will touch the deadness in your life, whatever it is. Before you leave here this morning, Jesus is offering himself right now, and he's going to offer himself to you. Can I give you, you want some good news?
Yes.
So at the end of the service, one of our brothers in the back was sitting next to some teenagers and said, you guys don't know the Lord yet, do you? No. He goes, what are you waiting for? They said, let's go. And they came up here and they gave their hearts to Jesus right after the service. Listen to me. These people have gone, these two have gone from death to life in one morning,
right now.
In one service, right here. This is what Jesus wants to do for you today. Step into your life today, not tomorrow, not at the resurrection, today. Do you always, I just want to ask you a question. Are you the kind of person that always looks through the my best days are behind me kinds of glasses, kinds of lenses? Some of us live with the misunderstanding that all of this miracle stuff, this resurrection power stuff, it's all part of the past. It's just part of some ancient Bible Sunday school thing, and it's not really happening today. Yeah, sure, it happened back then, but the Jesus that is back then isn't the same Jesus at work today. That's a lie. Because I could tell you and I could testify to the fact that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and will be tomorrow, and he's working in the same exact way. And if you believe today that the best stuff in your life is behind you and that the miraculous, joyous resurrection power is somewhere in the past and what's ahead of you is just pain and suffering and awaiting until Jesus comes, I've got some really good news for you. Jesus is alive today, just like he was in Bethany. He can do whatever he wants to do, and he loves you just as much as he loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, and he's bringing the sting of death out of your life, and he's bringing resurrection power into your life today. Amen. You ladies need to come back any like the church every week right here. It's the spa is in the house today. You guys know, right? Nothing is over until Jesus says it's over. So does anyone need a resurrection today? That's the question. I proclaim to you and witness to the fact that it's available for you today. Let him take your sorry, broken, disastrous past and breathe new resurrection life into it, into the places where it's only been stinking, gassy, green, oozing. Death has been part of your life. Let him come and heal it. I don't know if you can tell, but I mean, he's alive in me, and I'm trying to get that life into your heart today. I want you to experience the same life that I have. He's still saving marriages. He's still healing diseases. He's still freeing people from the grip of addiction. He's still delivering people from the slavery of sin. Jesus is the same as he was in the Bible time here, and he is here today to do for you what he has done for me and countless others and his good friends here in Bethany. And he says to Martha, after she says, yeah, I know he's going to raise in the resurrection, and his response is, hey, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me will never die. And whoever lives and believes in me will... I messed it up. Let me start over. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And then he says, do you believe this, Martha? Boy, there's the question right there. That is the all-important, ultimate question for every human being. Do you believe this? There is life only in Jesus in his name. John 11:27, she says, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. There is Martha's confession. There's her faith to believe. It sounds a lot like our confession. When we come before the Lord for salvation, Romans 10:9 says that if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. This is what every person needs to do. They need to come to a place of humility where they repent of their sins and they confess the Lord Jesus as Lord of their life and receive his salvation. Verse 38, John 11, Jesus was deeply moved and he came to the tomb. Boy, this is quite the scene. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Now, it must have sent chills up Jesus' spine because in just a few days, he's going to be in the same situation. Verse 39, take away the stone, he said. Man, can't you just hear that? The authoritative voice of the Lord, take away the stone. Now, if you don't think that God has a sense of humor, you need to read this as though he does. But Lord, Martha says. But Lord, by this time there is a bad odor. For he has been in there for 4 days. And you just said it. The King James Version goes like this. But Lord, by this time he stinketh. That's what the King James Version says. So here she's full of faith and full of confession. And then Jesus says, roll away the stone. Oh, he's been in there for 4 days. And listen to how Jesus responds in verse 40. Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Listen, she knew Jesus can because she sent for him to heal him. So she knows he can raise him from the dead. But if you know that Jesus can, but you doubt that he will, then you need to turn up your faith, Martha. This is Jesus on the scene. So trust him and obey him and believe him for the miracle. Because if anybody can do it, in fact, nobody can do it but Jesus. Nothing is impossible for him. So they took away the stone and Jesus called with a loud voice. So get ready because I'm going to say this loud. Jesus called with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. My friends, this is what Jesus does for people who are dead and bound, who are confused and controlled by their sins. His resurrection power sets them free. He calls into their darkness, calls out their name, and says, set them free. Amen. Okay, now let me show you how the people responded. Not Lazarus. Okay, what did Lazarus do? Okay. I'm coming. I hear your voice. I'm coming. Look at what the people did in verse 45. Many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen or witnessed, okay, what Jesus did, believed in him. They witnessed his power at work for somebody else. It's not their story. They saw what Jesus did for somebody else, and they were saved because they believed. I just want to say this. I want to ask you this question. Where does this promise of the power of Christ's resurrection intersect something that is dead in your life today? Is Jesus crying out from the outside of your darkness, crying into your dark tomb, hollering your name and saying, come out? Jonathan, come out. Come out of your darkness. Beth, come out of your darkness. I'm calling you out. Come to me. I'm going to resurrect your life. Kathy, come out of the dark. He calls our names. Balcony people. I can't see who you are. I can just see faces up there. I see people, okay? I'm just going to... Is there a Steve up there? How about Alan? Alan! Stand up, Alan. Alan! Come out! Come out! This is what Jesus does, okay? He finds you where you are, and he calls your name. Just like he came to Lazarus. He knew Lazarus was dead, but death is not a big deal to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he comes, and he's going to go, Lazarus, come out of there! And you're going to come walking out, and this is what he's going to do. Take those grave clothes off of him and set him free. Let him go. Unbind him. This is what Jesus does, my friends. How are you going to respond to this, okay? Man, I'm running out of time. Let's go for it, all right? Let me say this. To witness resurrection power demands a response. You will not be unchanged when you witness resurrection power. Three ways people respond to resurrection power. Let me first talk to those of you who don't know the Lord yet. What I mean by that is that Jesus isn't the Lord of your life yet. You probably know Jesus. You probably believe in Jesus. You're here searching for Jesus. And maybe today in your heart, you're going, man, I really need this. What I mean by that is that you haven't confessed him as your Lord. You haven't repented of your sins, and he's not your Savior yet. Yet. The call to you today to respond to this message, how you should respond to this, is believe. I'm declaring to you, we've been declaring to you all morning long, that the Lord Jesus Christ is real, that the Lord Jesus Christ is alive, and that his resurrection power is still at work today. And it will come into your life if you would just believe. You actually are now witness to the resurrection power in the story that we have read. This is real stuff. It's really happened. It's not a parable. This is a real story that really happened. And the same Jesus that took Lazarus out of the tomb will bring you out of yours. But you've got to believe. Respond to this message by believing and accepting and confessing before the Lord today. John 1:12 says that all who believe in him and accept him, he will give you the right to become his child. God loves you just like he loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And it's Easter today. What a better day. There's no better day to get saved than today, the Resurrection Sunday. And Easter is all about the light of Jesus Christ. It's all about knowing the Savior and seeing the Savior. It's all about resurrection power, raising people from the dead. Easter is all about believing that you can have eternal life. Wouldn't that be wonderful today if today was the day you gave your heart to Jesus? We would love to help you with that and love and rejoice with you in that. Today would be your day of salvation. There's a second way to respond to this. Not everyone who experiences resurrection power believes. In fact, if you go back to verse 45, many of the Jews who came to visit Mary had seen and witnessed what Jesus did believed in him. Many, not all. your response today might be, not yet. To that I would say, don't stop seeking. Don't stop knocking. And if you're not ready today, don't put it off too long. And if you're not ready today, keep coming back. Keep coming back. And come and sit with a bunch of people who love you and keep sitting underneath the Word of God. I believe that you are here because the Lord Jesus is pursuing you. And His Holy Spirit is wanting to speak into your life and save your soul. You're just not ready for it yet. You can come to Jesus. You come to Jesus when you submit to Him and commit to Him. And so if today's not your day to receive Him, keep coming back and keep seeking Him. But don't wait too long. The Bible says that today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. Today is the day of salvation for you. And then the next group of responders is the rest of us. So let me talk to all of us, okay, who have believed and have accepted. I want to go to the moment that the women in Jesus' life went to the tomb that first Easter morning. They heard the greatest news ears had ever heard, and this is what they heard. Remember, the angel had rolled the stone away, was sitting on the stone, and they went and looked in, and this is what they said. The angel said, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's alive. He's not dead. He is risen from the dead." And so let somebody answer this question. What did they do next? I know. They took their spices and kind of like, what spices did you bring? And they just had a little talk. Well, now we don't need to use these spices. What should we use them for? Should we go home and make a cake with the cinnamon? Should we do something, you know? And let's wrap up this little grave clothes that are sitting here. Let's make sure that we tidy up the tomb. Is that what they did? No. What they did is they ran to tell everybody else. Okay, they were like, what? And they took off running and they went and told everybody they could. They went straight to the disciples and said, you're not gonna believe this. Jesus is, wait a minute, we should believe it. Jesus said He was gonna rise from the dead, but He's done it and He's not there. He's alive. They went and testified of that which they had witnessed. You know what's crazy is that those people from Jerusalem that went to Bethany and saw Lazarus' resurrection and witnessed Lazarus, you know what the first thing they did? If you go to verse 46 and look, they went from town to town and from house to house, and they proclaimed, they witnessed and testified to what they had seen. And they went and said, you're not going to believe it. Lazarus is alive. You heard about that guy in Bethany that died? Jesus, a guy named Jesus, came, and he brought him up from the dead. They believed, and then they witnessed it. In fact, the Christ followers who were with the resurrected Jesus on the Mount of Olives after Jesus' resurrection and watched Jesus ascend into heaven, this is so great, this story, because they're gazing up into heaven, the scripture says, and while they're watching and looking up, jaws open wide as Jesus ascends into heaven and disappears, an angel appears to them. They didn't even know it, and he's like, hey, wake up. Why are you gazing up into heaven? Jesus, who went up, is coming back just like He said He would. You're not supposed to be standing here looking up. You're supposed to be looking out and see the people that need Him and need His resurrection power, and you go take His power out to the world and you tell them about Jesus. That's what disciples of Jesus do. They testify as eyewitnesses to the resurrection power of Jesus, and then they go lead people to the cross of Christ for salvation. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says that God is making His appeal to the world through us. You excited about that? Or does it make you a little nervous? Yes. One person came up to me after the first service and said, we need a class. And I said, I know, stay tuned, and we are. We're gonna have a whole weekend. Kyle Martin's coming in pretty soon here. We're gonna have a whole 3-week series on the gospel. What is the gospel, and what are we supposed to do with the gospel, and how do we take the gospel? How do we live this out? I'm just getting it into your head that this is what we do. We witness to it in our own lives, and then we go out and witness to everyone else about it. In fact, Romans 10:13, look at it. It says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Does anybody wanna scream hallelujah on that? Hallelujah, that is a great thing, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless somebody tells them? And that's why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring the good news. This is where it is. This is it. It's bringing the good news that you've experienced into the hearts of other people. And here's how it works. You ready? This is how it works. It's as simple as this. What did Jesus say to do? He said, all authority is given to me. Now you go. Everybody say it. Now you go. And you find somebody else. All right? Come here. Let's go. Hurry up. What's your name?
Dylan.
Come here, Dylan. I went and got Dylan, okay? You all right, buddy?
Yeah.
I know it's freaking you out right now, isn't it? So I go get Dylan. This is how it works, okay? It's one-on-one. I go get Dylan, and I'm gonna make friends with Dylan, and I'm gonna say, Dylan, I got some really good things for you. I got some really good news for you. I wanna share with you, okay? I have witnessed resurrection power in my life, and you can have it too. And I share with him what I have experienced in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Dylan goes, go ahead, Dylan. Yeah, it's good. You're kidding me. I can have that same resurrection power. Yes, you can. And so I lead Dylan to Jesus, right? I bring him to Jesus, and he gets saved, and he confesses his sin before the Lord. And then what do I do? Now I teach him. The next thing I do is I teach him, Dylan, guess what the Lord Jesus wants us to do? He wants us to go get somebody else. And I'm gonna teach you how to go and share your faith with somebody else, bring them to Jesus, and then teach them to go do the same thing. So you ready? Okay, go get somebody. Go and bring them up here. Hurry. You gotta hurry. Children in the nurseries they're dying right now. Go. And I gotta go too, because I don't just stop, right? So I'm gonna go get somebody else. Come on. Hurry. Come to Jesus. Let's go. Come with me. Come on. Let's go. Come on. Oh, I love that shirt. He is risen indeed.
Right.
All right. So what we're gonna do? So go over there. So we're going to now, Dylan. We're now going to share Jesus, okay, with them, and we're gonna witness to what we have witnessed, and we're gonna teach them to do the same thing. Right? Right? You in agreement?
Yeah.
You believe?
I believe.
You believe?
Yeah.
You ready to go? Let's go. Come on. Let's go. We gotta get out there. Come on. We gotta get somebody else. Let's go. Come on. Come on, brother, let's go. Come on. Come on up. Come on.
You know about Jesus?
All right. Let's go. What's your name?
Van.
Van.
With the V.
Van. This is Van, okay?
Yeah.
I'm going to share with Van, and you guys are going to share with the people that you brought, okay? Hey, welcome, by the way. Welcome to the family of God. We're going to share all the wonderful things that God has done for us, because we have witnessed it. Now, we're witnessing to it, and then I'm going to teach them. We're all teaching people how to do this, and we're going to go do it again.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you ready to go? Are you ready to be obedient to the Lord? This is how it works. Let's go. Come on. Let's go get somebody else. Don't just get the front people. Get people all the way in the back. Come on. You want to go? Come on. Let's go. Come on. Come on. Hurry. Jesus is coming back. Come on. So we go and get somebody else, and then we're gonna bring them here. We're gonna share with them. We're gonna witness to them from what we have witnessed. We're gonna share with them how they're gonna go out and do the same thing, and then guess what's gonna happen? Because we're obedient to the Lord.
Yeah.
Come on, let's go get somebody else. Let's go, come on. Come on, let's go. All right, come on, let's go. Hurry, let's go. How awesome is this? Look at what's happening. Listen, my friends, listen. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna grab you, and the whole group's gonna follow you because they love you. Come on, this is the way it works sometimes. Sometimes the whole group comes. You guys are all sitting together, and you're all pretty and everything, and this is great. And all of a sudden, you don't realize that Jesus is gonna come into your life, and he's gonna bring you to himself. He's gonna bring, is Jesus here doing that? No, he's not. Jesus isn't doing this. You're doing this. We have been given the ministry of reconciliation, okay? Now, is Jesus doing it? Yes, he is. Why is he doing it? Because he's in us. His Holy Spirit is in us. His power is in us, okay? And he's empowering us to do it. But Jesus didn't say, guess what? I'm going to heaven real quick. I'm going to sit at the throne really fast because the Bible says I'm supposed to do that. Then I'm coming back, and I'm going to lead everyone in the world to Jesus. That's not what he said. I can't breathe right now. What he said is, you are going to be my witnesses. You are going to go and witness. Now, how awesome is this? How beautiful is this, okay? Do you see that this is how we win the world? It's the principle of multiplication. Yes. And what did everybody do? They just went and got one. Right. I don't have to try to save the whole world, the whole congregation. I just need to go to that next person and grab them and bring them. Okay, let's, you want to go one more? Want to go one more? You want him to go one more? All right, come on, go get him. One more. Let's go. Come on. Go get him and bring him up. Come on, let's go. Come on. Oh, you guys.
I witness your faithfulness.
Come on.
I've seen you bring life within. So I'll pour out my praise in your way. God, you're worthy of all the praise. Your promises never fail. I've got stories I live to tell. So
this is what happens when God's people are obedient to the Lord and obedient to the Holy Spirit and in the power of the Holy Spirit, take the message of the gospel, take the message of resurrection power to the hearts of people. Listen to me. In the last days, which we are living in right now, the Spirit is going to pour himself out anew and afresh, and many are going to come to faith, and he's calling on us to do it. Are you willing?
Yes.
Are you willing, church?
Yes.
Okay, come on. We got to do it. This is such a beautiful picture of what the gospel presentation and what the going out of the gospel is of God's people taking it to the world. This is what we're called to. Want some homework?
Yeah.
Like the same five people when I ask, do you want some homework, or answering the question. Here's the homework. You received this little witness sticker when you came in. Here's what I want you to do. Take that sticker and paste it on something you look at every day. I'm going to put it on my mug over here, on my Revive mug that I've got, because I use this all the time. I'm going to put it right here as a reminder that I have been called to witness to that which I have witnessed, that I am to go out. And then the homework is not just put it on something, big deal, right? The homework is witness. Go out and find somebody and teach them what God has taught you, and then explain to them the responsibility to go find another person, and together we are going to build the kingdom of God on the earth for his glory and for his. I love you. Happy Easter. Give somebody a great big hug. Let's just have a great time. Look at all these people that got saved today. How awesome is that? All right. Let's go out and share Jesus with everybody we can. Let's witness to his faithfulness. I love you so much. God bless you.